and welcome to this Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message entitled Five Steps to Financial Freedom, Breaking the Chains of Debt, is part of our series titled Overflow. This message is presented to us by our executive pastor, Ron Cochran. So now let's join Ron as he shares with us this week's message.
A few weeks ago, probably three or four, Pastor Ray came to me and said, you know, I really would like to have you speak a couple times in this Overflow series. And I said, what are the other choices? And he said, no, I really would. And I want you to deal with a really fun subject. And I said, huh, okay, what would that be? And he said, debt, uh-huh. The minute I mention that word, everybody kind of recoils, right? Debt and how we deal with it. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I think the word on the screen expresses it the best. Overflow. That's what God wants in our life. What is a hindrance to overflow? Debt. And so today, as we talk through the Word and we look at Scriptures and we look at some practical hands-on stuff, I want you to understand that this is what God wants in our personal life. This is what God wants in our church life. And so as we talk about this subject today, I want to assure you that regardless of where you are financially, God has a plan to enhance what you can do for the kingdom. And we're going to talk about that. Let's pray first, if we could, and ask the Lord for his touch this morning on this topic. Holy Lord, we realize that you are the Lord of all. You own everything. You have given us the privilege, Lord, as managers to manage resources that you put in our hands. And so today, as we talk about this subject, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts, you would open our ears, you would help us to form new habits, God, that would be healthy in our lives. And God, speak to our hearts. We open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Caleb mentioned that a few minutes ago in calling us to prayer, but I am so grateful for a church that understands kingdom giving. It's amazing to me that as Pastor Ray and others have presented needs that go beyond the four walls of this church, needs throughout the world, whether it's a building trip to Central America and building buildings for school children there, or whether it's something we completed just recently, the Little Davy Project, providing computers for children in Nicaragua, training them, or what's taking place even today, and that is ministry taking place around the globe, ministry taking place in Africa, ministry taking place in the over 125 missionaries that we support. But here's what I notice. Every time that a guest comes or every time Pastor Ray brings a need before this church meets the need. This is a generous church, and I commend you for that. Cheryl and I are so delighted to be a part of such a church full of love and compassion and God's divine blessing, I really believe, is on this church. So the message I want to share with you this morning is entitled Five Steps to Financial Freedom, Breaking the Chains of Debt, because I think that's what debt is. I think it restricts us. So I took a little different approach to this message in preparing for this today. I said, if I'm sitting where you're sitting, if I'm in your seat today, what would be helpful to me? Not where just you get a whole slug of information and here's the five steps and you walk out and you forget it by the time you have lunch, but what will be helpful to you? What would be helpful to me if I'm sitting in your seat this morning? And so I hope I can do that. I don't want to just come away as a formula. Sometimes when we talk about finances, people get nervous and they kind of back away. Okay, I'm shutting this one off because I really don't want to hear that. Why is that? The reason is because every one of us deal with finances every day. It's a very personal thing. There's as many balance sheets in this auditorium this morning as there are people. Every one of us has a unique balance sheet. So I'm asking you this morning to open your heart, open your ears to hear the word, and don't pull back because I believe the Lord has something to teach us this morning. And let me start by saying this. Nobody has a perfect score in the area of finances. In fact, if you were to ask the most successful people in the world their financial history, I can promise you that they would be very quick to share with you the fact that they didn't always get it right. They made a lot of mistakes along the way, but they corrected those mistakes and they learned from their mistakes and they became incredibly successful because of some habits that changed in their lives or maybe in their business. So that's what we want to talk about today. and students. I see a whole pack of you guys here and another whole group over here. I didn't say this in the last service, but let me say this morning. If you can learn some of these principles this morning, today, it will serve you well for the rest of your life. You will avoid some pitfalls that all of us have fallen into. So get it right early, and you are going to be so happy that you put some of these principles into practice. So I'm going to start this morning with a question. I don't want you to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you score your current financial fitness? Your current financial fitness. Think about that. Score 1 to 10. And I want you to just keep that score in your mind for now, because we're going to come back to that at the end of the message this morning. I don't know if you have been following. I'm sure you have. I mean, how could you miss it? What's been going on in Washington the last several weeks, especially this past week, and how, again, we came to the brink of going into a financial crisis, so they said. We don't know because we didn't get there. But again, it was dealing with a national debt, and it was dealing with extending more debt for this nation so it could pay its bills. How many could run a business or a family like that? Couldn't happen. So if we score Washington today on a score of 1 to 10, I'd give them a big zero. How about you? Yeah. Sorry, I won't get into politics at all because I don't go there, except at home. Okay. Speaking of Washington, I want to share with you a quick story that I came across this week, and I think it's pretty good. As the story goes, George and Barbara Bush were in the presidential limo driving back from an event. They were driving on some out-of-the-way back roads when the driver had to stop to refuel. When they pulled into the service station, the old service station owner came out the door, shocked at the sight of the presidential limo. When Mrs. Bush saw him, though, through the window, she jumped out of the car, ran up to him, and gave him a great big hug. They talked for a few minutes, and then she got back in the limo. She turned to President Bush and said, "That's Harry, my old high school boyfriend." George got a big grin on his face, and he leaned back and said, "So, let me get this straight. If you had married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant. But instead, you married me, the President of the United States." Barbara looked back at him with a sparkle in her eye, and she said, "Oh, George, don't be silly. If I had married him, he would be the President of the United States." So, guys, listen to your wife. It's just a very good clue, especially when it comes to this topic. Listen to your wives. Cheryl has saved me many a time. So back to topic. I want to talk for just a minute about what happened in this church back 2 years ago. In 2011, Pastor Ray came to this church with a challenge. And he said, "You know what? I believe the Lord's laid it on my heart for this church to be completely debt-free. And that's going to take some time." He set a timetable, 3 years, and we're going to get out of corporate debt. That was the challenge. So would you like to know where we are today? You bet. So as of today, we have received a total, this is cash, by the way, $1,141,000, yeah, towards elimination of our debt. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. We are going to slay the debt dragon, folks. And what's going to happen is we have about, we're two-thirds of the way through the program. We're just a little ahead of schedule. But what's going to happen is somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 per month. Think about that. $25,000 to $30,000 per month is going to be freed up because no more mortgage payments, and we'll be able to invest that amount of money every month in ministry here and around the world. I think that's awesome. Talk about overflow. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to get personal. Sorry, you knew I was going to get there. So we're going to talk not about corporate debt. We're going to talk about personal debt because every person in this room is going to deal with this at some point in their life. And if you're already debt-free, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. If you're not, let's talk about some tools this morning that will help you get there. Here's the first one. Don't delay, start today. Say that. Don't delay, start today. I feel like I was going to say 999, but I won't go there. That's a different story. Don't delay. Start today. Important to remember. One of my favorite finance guys, and many of you have been through the course, is Dave Ramsey. Back in 2008, before 2008, nobody paid much attention to Dave Ramsey, did they? It's kind of like, well, he's another guy talking about money. Okay, fine. But all of a sudden, when the debt crisis of 2008 took place, he looked like the smartest guy on the planet, didn't he? He was talking about, and he'd been talking about it for years, getting out of debt and staying out of debt. And all of a sudden, people started paying attention. Dave is a great author. He's got a daily radio program, and if you ever listen to his program, you find out that people across America are getting out of debt, and they're pretty excited about it because of the liberty and the freedom that it brings. So I want to play you a short clip today from Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. By the way, we offer this class on a regular basis in our church. If you've not taken this class, there's so much more information. It's about a 10 or 12 week class. We certainly can't cover all that this morning, but I'll give you just kind of some brief highlights. But this morning, I want you to see just a very short video clip from Dave Ramsey teaching one of his large events, and it's about this subject this morning, personal debt.
Slave to the lender. You see, what happens to most of us is we get out of school and we get married, right? No, this is not marriage. But Sharon and I, we got out of school. We had a little bit of a student loan debt. We had too much on a MasterCard and a lot on an Amoco card, because when I was in college, I bought a couch on my Amoco card. I don't think you're supposed to do that, are you? God said it was okay, though. And we started off our lives broke. You remember when you started off broke. We ain't got money, honey, but we got love. Good thing, too, because we ain't got no money. And we were eating off a card table, driving a 1902 Pinto, just getting our lives started. You remember. And that's about the time all those Pintos were blowing up. I don't know if any of you remember that or not. And my wife was driving the Pinto, so we were getting a little worried here. My buddies are going, "But you got good life insurance, don't you?" So I got all embarrassed, went and bought my wife a brand new car I wanted. Yeah, some of the ladies understood that one, yeah. And then we're in this little apartment watching this television sideways that we bought at a garage sale. And so I went down to one of the electronics store and to get me a good television. 90 days, same as? Yeah, you know about that, because I'm a finance major. I'm going to get that free money. I'm going to use that free money. I'm going to beat them up. And I bought a stereo television, which meant I had to get a stereo. And then I had to get an entertainment center to put all this stuff in. Now, we're in a one-bedroom flea-bag apartment eating off a card table, but we have a stereo system shaking eight-block area. Priorities, baby, priorities. And that's how we started off our lives. And then our friends came over and said, "Oh, you've been married 20 minutes and you haven't bought a house yet? Oh, renters go to hell. Oh, you can't be a renter. Gotta buy a house, gotta buy a house, gotta buy a house, gotta buy a house, gotta buy a house." Now listen, I want you to get a house, but broke people shouldn't buy a house. That blessing will turn into a nightmare. And so we went and we got a house with nothing down, because that's what we had to put down, nothing. They called it creative financing. We thought it was creative. Here we got no money, we signed our name and got a house. This is just good. In America, what a country. And we bought a house in the same neighborhood that I grew up in. You see, Larry Burkett used to say, we spend the first 5 to 7 years of our marriage trying to attain the same standard of living as our parents. Only it takes them 35 years to get there. So we're in the same neighborhood as mom and dad, had a better car than mom and dad, and for sure had a better stereo system than mom and dad. That's how we started off our lives. We have people that look like this come into our office all the time. They're going, "Dude, can you get me out?" See, the sad thing is 52% of the marriages in America end in divorce. Of those that divorce in the first 7 years, well, guess what they tell us? 90% of those say marriage problems caused the young marriage to crash. Money problems caused the young marriage to crash. You see, it's no fun like this to be married. You know why? Your leg gets tired. So we made a decision, Sharon and I, that the borrower really is slave to the lender, that's as true as the fact that that is north. It's the truth. Whether we
liked it. Have you ever felt like that? I have. Chained up with no options. You know, and that's what debt does to us. It limits our options. And sometimes, depending on the level of debt, it limits all of our options. We really don't have any options because all of our money is spoken for before we ever get it. Do you know what the biggest obstacle to kingdom giving is? I bet you know. It's a debt. Because if everything is spoken for before you get that paycheck, you have no options. If there's an opportunity for you to give to Ethiopia, or an opportunity for you to give to some project that is presented, you're stuck. And so this morning, we want to talk about living a life of overflow and getting rid of debt. I'm sure you would agree with me that debt is a serious problem in America. That's how we've learned to live. Here are the statistics I want to give you from, this is off the website as of Friday, from the Federal Reserve. I want to make sure I had accurate information for you today. Americans owe a combined $850 billion in credit card debt. And that divides out to over $7,000 per household. Now think about that for a minute. Some households have way more than that, and some have no debt. This is the average, is over $7,000. This is really startling, too, for young families. We have a lot of young families here today. The average credit card debt indebtedness of young adult households in America is now 25% of their income. That means that 25% of their income is going to pay off credit cards, going to pay off loans, going to pay off a car, whatever it would be. But a quarter of their income is already spoken for. 25% of their income is already spent. Here's another one. Average student loan debt. I tell you what, some are a lot higher than this. $31,500. When you think of even private universities now, you're looking at a cost of well over $25,000 a year. So somebody gets out of school with that amount of debt, they're really not doing too bad. But what I'm saying is, this is the average student loan debt. And did you know it goes up every year? This last year, it went up 6.2%. It just keeps climbing. So think about these students as they graduate from college and the kind of a debt load that they can start life with. It's pretty tough. Debt is a growing problem in this country. And here are some danger signs I want to give you. And I'm hoping you can see this because they're all on one screen, I think. Well, maybe not. One at a time, Bob. Thanks. We'll go back. So I was thinking they were all in one. Well, maybe it preloads. It's preloading. Okay. Let it finish. All right. Now listen. Don't look. So if you're living on credit instead of your income just to keep up, you're using credit cards to pay the stuff you can't pay. That's danger sign number one. Danger sign number two, if you're delaying payments or paying the minimum due on credit cards. Now, I realize that some people have fallen on hard times and that that's your only option, is to pay the minimum you can pay. Maybe you're out of work. So I'm not saying that anything against you. I'm just saying, but this is a problem. And some people live like this that have good jobs, delaying payments or paying the minimum due on credit cards. Danger sign number three, running out of money before running out of month. We've all been there. Number four, using payday loans to survive until the next paycheck. And these are just absolute the worst of all because they prey on the poor, I think. Because what happens is sometimes you will pay anywhere from 50 to 150% on that money when you pay it back. They don't tell you that when you sign up for it. It gets you into a cycle that you cannot get out of. Number five, debt danger sign is unable to tithe or save. We talked about that. You can't save anything. You can't give anything because your income is already spoken for before you ever get your check. Unable to pay taxes. Property tax comes due. Man, I just don't have the money in the account. Income tax comes due. Don't have any money for it. Number seven, a debt danger sign that you're looking to get rich off get-rich-quick schemes. Late-night television. How many of those have you seen? Boy, it's so easy. You can make millions of dollars. Just do this. Send me your money and I'll help you. It doesn't work out. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappear. I love that translation. That's a good one. And I'm going to give you a number eight bonus. I don't think it's even on the screen. Winning the lottery is my great hope. If I just win those millions of dollars, I will be out of debt and I'll just be so happy. You ought to look at the history of the folks that win the lottery. It's not too pretty. Most of them are bankrupt within a few years. Well, I hope you're ready for the five steps that we introduced at the beginning of our talk. I want to give them to you, but first I want to look at the Word because I think this is the foundation for everything that we've talked about today. starting with Proverbs 22:7. Dave Ramsey mentioned it a moment ago. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. I can't get that picture out of my mind of those chains around him. You know, I just know what that feels like. So we become slaves to the lender. God doesn't want that for us. Romans 13:8 says, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. Luke 16:11, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Wow, I want to be found trustworthy for heaven. Proverbs 25:28, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Now, what does self-control have to do with finances? Everything. Everything. Galatians 5:22. When I read that scripture in Proverbs, I thought, okay, a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22, and most of us can quote these, but I'm going to read it to you this morning. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and there it is again, self-control. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, something God wants to do in us. Not to just live on impulse buying, but to have self-control. So to get financially free, we have to control our choices. Here's something that I've learned. Good choices repeated often equal good habits. Good choices, when you do them often enough, pretty soon they turn into just a part of your life, good habits. And then good habits repeated often bring about life change. That's true in any area of life, but we're talking about finances this morning. Good choices repeated often equal good habits. Good habits repeated often equal life change. So, here's a question I have for you. I want you to think about this for a minute. If you were totally debt-free, how would your life be different? If you were totally debt-free, how would your life be different? I see a lot of smiles, kind of, what a happy thought that could be. And it's true. So how do we get there? First of all, I want to say this morning that information is important, but behavior is the key. In other words, we can have all the most fantastic information in the world, and we can say, boy, I know that to be true, and I know that to be true, and that's great too. But unless we choose to change our behavior, we'll stay on the same treadmill of frustration, and we don't get off. So here are the five steps. Step number one, we need to do a reality check. What is our current financial position? And do you even know? I don't know how many have ever seen the program, the TV program, what's the name of that thing? Till Debt Do Us Part. Till Debt Do Us Part. And if you've ever seen that show, it's kind of amazing. They find these couples that are in deep debt, and young couples, and they offer them $5,000 in cash if they'll go through this series of tests and do what the host says they should do to get their finances in order. The amazing thing to me is the fact that when they start the program, the couples don't have any idea what's going on. I mean, they let's see, I think I make this and she makes that, and so I think we have this much. And then you look at their credit card bills and they're just off the chart. And so they're living way, way, way above their means. Well, of course, they find these people. I don't know if people sign up for this. They probably do. But anyway, to get the $5,000. So the whole idea is to get the couple to change their behavior, to change their habit patterns so that their marriage will survive. A lot of tension in that program. So the second thing I want to say is don't play the blame game. And this is what I see in that program. And I think it's true of any of us. We tend to want to blame the other person. Now, if it's just you, then you got to blame yourself. But if you're in a marriage, you tend to want to blame the other person that you got me into this mess, and how come you keep spending so much on the credit card, and then the other person says, no, but you didn't take the extra job that we needed. And so the blame game starts to happen. And what we need to do this morning is realize, don't play the blame game. Start where you are and begin to make a change. Don't delay. Start today. Thank you. You need to know your starting position to be able to track your progress. You got to know where you start. Step one, and then you can track your progress. Step number two is that we need to make a plan. Most of us call this a budget. Most people don't like that word because it sounds like it's something that's going to hold you back. But it actually, if you'll do it, you'll be actually able to see how much income, how much expense, and what you got left over. Hopefully you've got some numbers left over. So a budget is really helpful. A budget is nothing more than a plan. And let me say this. You can set a budget and then kind of work through it, and it may take you two or three tries before you really get it like it needs to be. So don't get discouraged if you set a budget and you're not able to stick with it the first time. Stay at it. Work on it together. If you're a married couple, work on it together. Be in agreement of where you're going to go with this. Next is be honest and accurate. Be honest and accurate with where you are. Don't overinflate your income and underestimate your expenses. Tell it like it is. List all your sources of income. List every debt and payment. And I got caught on this a couple times in early marriage, and that is I would forget about those reoccurring payments, the stuff that happens like every 6 months, your insurance, your car insurance, or maybe it was property taxes. All of a sudden, whoa, where did that come from? Oh, yeah, I didn't budget for that. Make sure you include those in your budget. Track your spending. Know where every dollar is going. Dave Ramsey says, put a name on every dollar. It's good. I once had a financial expert. I was sitting in a room about this size, and I remember when the guy came to the mic, this guy was a financial guru, and I thought, man, I can't wait to hear what he's going to say. And he said, I've got some advice. If I didn't say anything else this morning, I want you to remember this. Here is the secret to incredible wealth. Everybody leaned forward, you know, like, what? Here is the secret to incredible wealth. Spend less than you make. It's kind of like, whoa, that is a revelation. But it's true. It's true. That's how we have to start. Step number three. Sometimes this is the hardest, is get started. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's the toughest job, I think. Somebody said getting started is 80% of the challenge. And I think once you make the decision, I'm going to do this. Get started. Remember we said information without behavior change isn't going to solve the problem. You can have all the right information, change your behavior, form new habits, get started. Step number four, you got to do first things first. You got to do things in order. One thing at a time. So number one, quit borrowing. Quit borrowing. You're just digging a deeper hole. That's a decision you have to make. I'm not going to borrow to maintain the level of life that I enjoy right now. I'm going to quit borrowing. Two is build an emergency fund. And I think this is just a great plan. I wish I'd have known this when I was in my 20s. Build an emergency plan because they always come up, don't they? So I think a good starting place is $1,000. Dave Ramsey teaches this as well. I think it's really important, and here's why. You can get all your budget put together, and you can figure out you can do all your tracking, and then all of a sudden something comes out of nowhere. Your car has this problem, and it's going to be $800. And you go, my only option, credit card. But if you have that $1,000 emergency fund, it's going to take care of some immediate things that you need to deal with that are going to come out of nowhere. Just plan on it because it's going to happen. Maybe it's a medical bill or something that you didn't expect that you need to have. So you start with that. You don't use that as a savings plan and go, okay, next time I need money, that's where I'm going. No, that's set aside for emergencies. That's why it's called an emergency fund. And then the second part is eventually you want to build that emergency fund. Once you get your debts paid off, you want to work on building that emergency fund to at least 3 months and hopefully 6 months, because you just never know what's around the corner. If you lost your job, anything like that, you have some reserve built. And so I think that's really, really important. Also part of step number four is start paying down the debts. So you quit borrowing, step one, and now you're going to start paying down those debts. And I remember when I was younger, I thought the way to attack debt is start with the highest interest rate debt and then move down from there. So if you have a credit card that has an interest rate of, Lord forbid, 21%, and you've got another one that's got an interest rate of 14%, I'll tackle that 21% first. Not a good idea. I think a better idea is to list the debts from the least amount to the highest. And so here's how that works. You tackle that first debt. Say it's $500. You tackle that first debt, you pay that off. Now, when that debt's finished, you take the same money that you were paying on that $500 debt, and now you attack the next one. The reason is you begin to sense some success. You're going, I can do this. I got that one. When you pay the second one off, you take both of those payments, attach it to the third debt, and keep working until you finally get out. That's an easy way to get out. So forget the interest rate for a minute. Look at the numbers and apply payments in order of smallest debt to largest. Number five, step five, don't give up. Stick with it. How many have ever heard the saying, quitters never win? That was kind of a regular thing I heard in my household growing up. And you don't want to know why I'm a music pastor today? Here's the story. Everybody's, whoa, how did that happen? So here you go. So I remember when I was in about sixth grade, and somebody came to the school and started talking about playing in the band. You need to get a band instrument. And so I went to my dad and I said, Dad, hey, I'd love to play in the band, and could I get a trumpet? And he said, sure, let's go get you a trumpet. So we went down to the music store, bought the trumpet. I was all excited and started learning how to play. Wasn't real pleasant to listen to, but I was learning how to play. So as I was practicing, and by the way, one of the requirements is that the band required that you practice 30 minutes a day if you were going to be in the band. So I started the 30-minute-a-day regimen and learning to play the horn. And looking outside the window, I saw my friends all playing football on the street. And it's kind of like the trumpet started to lose interest in that. And so I tried it for about 3 weeks. I went back to my dad and I said, Dad, you know, really enjoy the trumpet, but just not as much as I thought. So I'd like to do something different. And he said, no problem. I thought, wow, that went a lot easier than I thought. He said, come with me. So he took us to the side yard. And at our house, went to the side yard. It was full of mud and gravel, and it wasn't a very pretty sight. And he said, here's what we're going to do with, now that you have 30 minutes back in your schedule, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have you dig a hole 6 feet long and 6 feet deep, and then when you're done with that, I want you to fill it back up, and then I want you to dig it again. Wow, that doesn't sound like very much fun, but okay. So day one, I got out there and I started digging the hole. I think I got down about 3 or 4 feet. I had blisters on my hand. And about the fourth day, I went back to my dad. I said, Dad, you know, I really enjoyed playing the trumpet. I want to do that again. And so, you know, it was that kind of step, quitters never win. He taught me a valuable lesson. I stuck with it. I learned to play the trumpet. And you wouldn't want to hear me play it now. But anyway, in one day, I was actually halfway decent, but not anymore. We've got a lot better trumpet players in our orchestra. So quitters never win. And I think that's important to realize, because you're going to get to a place where doing what we're talking about this morning is going to be painful. It's not going to be a lot of fun. But what happens is the fun comes when it's all done and when you're completely out of debt and you can say, wow, wow. Some folks are even able to pay their mortgages off. Now, that's amazing. That's a real huge goal. We're going to talk about that next week when we talk about life after debt. But I'm saying all personal debt other than your mortgage, we're going to talk about next week, is what you need to set as a goal. And I would say this. Start right away, because God wants to show you what a life of abundance and overflow can look like. When there's a need, it doesn't have to be a church need. Somebody's in need and you know that $100 would really help them, and you're able to write a check or hand them a $100 bill and just say, bless you. I mean, that's incredible. Ford Taylor talked about this last week, you know, making sure that the folks that serve us, we take care of them. But if you're all strapped with debt and all you got is a credit card, you're probably going to be a cheap tipper. Don't do that. So what you want to do is be able to live in abundance and overflow and say, you know, God has blessed me and I want to bless you. Here's what happens. The enemy loves to see us with those chains. Remember that picture, Dave Ramsey in the chain? Loves to see us like that, because he realized it's completely limited our options. But God wants to set us free, give us a life of overflow, give us a life of blessing. And it's not an easy place to get to. Portland Christian Center has been in this debt reduction for 2 years. I can't wait until we get that third year finished and the debt is paid off, because there's going to be a liberty that I mentioned earlier that's going to be incredible and a multiplication of what God's able to do through this church. Think about that on an individual level. That's what God wants to do for you too. I really am convinced of that. So here's the 5 steps one more time. First of all, do a reality check. Second, make a plan. Third, get started. Take that big step. And fourth, do things in the right order. Get the debt paid off. And number 5, don't give up. You'll be tempted to give up. You'll be tempted to just quit on it. You get a year into it and go, this is impossible. Mm-mm. You can do it. Let God help you do that. So I'm going to go back to the opening question. We're going to wrap it up. On a scale of 1 to 10, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you score your current financial fitness? I want you to think about that for a minute. And could it improve? I think everybody in this room could probably say, yeah, it could improve. I'm going to have you stand this morning, and I want to dismiss in prayer, but I want to pray over you. Everybody stand for just a minute, and I want to pray over you that the Lord will help you bust those chains off and be set free, and just to the way God intended us to live. I believe the Lord wants to do that this morning. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? God, you're such a good God. You are a God of abundance. That's what you want for us. I thank you, Lord, for your provision in our lives. God, when we don't deserve it, when we make these kind of financial mistakes that we get ourselves painted into a corner, but God, somehow, if we remain faithful to you, your mercy reaches out to us and you get us out of jams that we really don't deserve to get out of, but you help us. And so this morning, I pray for every person within the sound of my voice that God, this day, today, first of all, that we would make a decision to get on the right path with our resources and that we would experience a life of overflow that you have intended for us. Lord, whether we're in school, whether we're a young married household, whether we've been at this for a long time, I pray, God, that you would guide and direct our steps. You've promised to do that, Lord, as we put our trust in you. So help us this morning, Lord, to take, for some of us, that first step and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get out of the chains that are wrapped around me right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're able to do it. And I know so many times it just takes that first step of faith to say, God, you're able, help me. And I know you're able to do it. So we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning. Right before we dismiss, I'd like to ask this question as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never had the opportunity to invite Christ into your life. He is the greatest resource that you will ever know. And so this morning, you may have come into this auditorium and you really don't have faith in Christ, but you've been touched maybe by the worship, by the word, by just experiencing something different. Here's what it is. It's the presence and the power of God in this place. And so I would ask you, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you would just follow me in this simple prayer. Maybe it's the first time you've ever prayed it. Maybe you've walked away from God at some point in your life too, and you just said, you know, enough of this. But God this morning is making himself real to you once again. So I'm going to ask every person within the sound of my voice to follow me in this very simple prayer. And you mean it from your heart, and God's going to hear you this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning confessing my need of you. I've failed you, and I've gone my own way. But today I make a decision for a fresh start with you as Lord of my life. I thank you for hearing my prayer. And from this day forward, I purpose in my heart to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast featuring part of our series, Overflow. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us for one of our services. For more information about Portland Christian Center, you can find it right here at pcctoday.com.